now, the Wild About Pets radio show, the place to learn something new about household pets and wild animals. Here's your host, educator and naturalist, Susan Frank.
Hello, welcome to the show. Today, how to help your horse live a better life. Horses, naturally being a prey species, instinctively will respond to threats by wanting to flee. They are all about flight, and fear is a major emotion. Now, as all horse owners or riders know, there are many times the horse comes in contact with something that will spook it. We may do things ourselves simply in relation with the horse that may also alarm it. And we certainly ask our horses to perform certain tasks that they often respond to with resistance and fear. This can be all very distressing for the horse and for the human. What if there were ways to lessen the horse's fears, your frustration, and increase their trust in you? There is. My guest today is Debbie Roberts-Laux, the daughter of Monty Roberts, a man many of you will know through his book, The Man Who Listens to Horses. We'll be talking with Debbie about the Monty Roberts methods for training and communicating with your horse that will greatly improve your bond and relationship. Welcome, Debbie. I am so thrilled to have you on the show today.
Well, thank you, Susan. I'm happy to be here.
Debbie Roberts-Laux is the CEO of Monty and Pat Roberts Incorporated that leads the equine training industry, focusing on the emerging field of interspecies communication. In 2006, she spearheaded the launch of the organization's award-winning online university called Equus Online University. Now, we're going to be looking at some photos that were provided by Monty and Pat Roberts Incorporated during this show. So if you'd like to see them while you're listening, make sure you have the player window open on Talk Zone, and our phone lines are open. It's Friday, November 4th, 2011. You can call 1-888-463-6748 or email me at susan@wildaboutpets.net to ask Debbie Roberts-Laux a question about horses. So, Debbie, first of all, what is the silent language of horses that everyone can benefit from?
Yeah, and everyone can learn. Dad actually called it Equus, and that Equus Caballus, of course, is a Latin name for horse. But he was grabbing at what he was trying to describe to people is the body language that it's like signing for the deaf. There's a communication that goes on in the herd. Wild horses are typically really quiet. Their survival depends on that. So there isn't any sound language like other than I'm over here. And you don't want to say that out in the wild. You know, I'm over here can actually mean dinner for the cats that night. So he called it Equus. And he began his journey to tell people that it works. It works with the herd, with the matriarch, disciplining the young ones growing up. It works with the matriarch telling the stallion that he's only good for one thing. he disciplines the group and keeps the herd together, and their survival depends on that.
So then your father, Monty Roberts, observed this silent communication amongst the wild horses. And then how did that actually translate into something that now any person relating to horses can use, Debbie?
Yeah. Well, since it is like signing for the deaf, then it can be taught. And that's an important distinction that we spend many of our waking hours teaching. Because if they thought, people thought it was a guru thing, like maybe the Horse Whisperer movie sort of makes that out a little bit, that if it's a guru thing, then it dies with the guru, right? Or you hope another guru comes along. But it's not. It is simply a language, just like learning Spanish or French. And it takes time. It's an art to learning a language. Some people are more adept at languages than others. But we all have the gift in us to go ahead and communicate in the body language. The body language is based on a lot of the predatorial signals given off to a horse, because our bodies, not like a horse's, look more like a predator. We've got eyes in front, and we've got big shoulders that are square, and we square up on a horse. That means go away. Eyes on eyes mean go away. Fingers open are like the claws on a bear or a cat, and that means go away. But we can do the opposite, too. We can go passive. and invite that horse in. And there are invitations that you'll see in a herd standing on a 45. We can emulate and sort of duplicate those with a horse who's trying to figure us out.
It sounds then like inadvertently, Debbie, maybe we use our body in ways that we're threatening our horses and we're clueless. And then obviously by our gestures or our body language or whatever we do with our hands, our body, we can not threaten and we can invite is what it sounds like you're saying.
Absolutely true. And if you don't look at it like a language, you may just happen into those accidents and not even be intending it. A lot of people think, like with people, looking them in the eye is important. It shows the window to the soul and all that. Opposite is true for flight animals. Eyes on eyes really means that predator is coming at you. They're seeking you out. If you look at the cats and the Discovery Channels and the Animal Planets, when they're relaxed, they're not looking at the predators. They're down in the grass or they're relaxing and sleepy. But when they stand erect, body erect, and start the approach, they need depth perception. That's why the eyes are in front, and that's why that's really primal to flight animals. So, yes, we can look in the eyes, and that doesn't mean you can't look your horse in the eye and love on him, but when you're standing in an arena or if you're standing in a pasture and you're trying to get your horse to come to you and you're staring him down, it doesn't help you. It doesn't help you gather him up out of the field. There's a lot of body language that goes on in gathering a horse from a field.
I can imagine that. I'm talking to Debbie Roberts-Laux, CEO of Monty Roberts, Monty and Pat Roberts Incorporated, about how you can improve your relationship with your horse. Yeah. Our phone lines are open. It's November 4th, 2011. You can call 1-888-463-6748 or email me at susan@wildaboutpets.net to ask Debbie a question about some of the training methods or your horses made famous by her father, Monty Roberts. So looking at some of the photos, Debbie, we have a picture of your dad when he was very young. This is picture number 6 of our photographs. I imagine you also started riding horses when you were very young?
Before I can remember. And Dad always jokes that he didn't get into the horse business until he was about 3. So this is him. This is him at 4, actually getting one of a 12 and under class, first of all. How humiliating would that be to be 11 in that class? And and it was given by a gal who was a famous actress at the time. So it was a big deal. And that's his horse, Ginger, there. And he is at the Rodeo Grounds in Salinas, California there. That's the shed row there. Mm-hmm. That later, just a side note, that later became the Japanese internment camp going into World War II. That was the one in Salinas there. You can read about that in Google. But that's where Dad grew up, on the Rodeo Grounds there. His father was the manager of that whole thing, and it was the biggest thing pretty much in California. It's where the California Rodeo went on.
And speaking of history, of course, your father grew up watching the techniques that still today people mostly, I think, consider the normal accepted ways to train or get horses used to the idea of being ridden. And, of course, the term that we commonly have used is break the horses.
Break. That's right. Like break the spirit. Exactly right. And that's pretty much the whole attempt. My grandfather, actually, in 1957, the year I was born, actually, was he wrote the book that was pretty much the Bible for Western horse training. So in all of the Western United States, it was sort of the one that everybody used as the those that could read books that could is a template, a step-by-step of the traditional breaking methods. And you'll see photos on our website of my grandfather tying up horses, standing on their necks, using all the traditional methods that, unfortunately, you can still see some today. And I know people deny it, but then, we've even seen it in some Western state colleges. So we have a ways to go. Our job is not done here.
Yes, and I agree. And actually, Debbie, I remember for me, until I read your father's book, and I became very fascinated hearing about Buck Brannaman and Tom Dorrance, and some of the leaders in this field that really have been around for a long time doing this kind of work, until I really started realizing there's a different way. In my mind growing up, I also just thought, well, this seems like really cruel, but I guess that's the way it's done. And your father has been instrumental in changing our perception. So if you had to put this in a nutshell, Debbie, what would you say is the real difference between the old way, what characterizes the old way, the traditional way, that again, many of us think is the way it's done, mm-hmm. and the methods that your father and you are using?
Mm-hmm. The biggest difference that I could say is he uses the language of the horse. Even the clinicians that are considered natural horsemen, they use the nature of the horse, but do they actually use the language of the horse? And then the second and bottom line, it's the top rule really, is you have to achieve this training without violence. And the bottom line on that is a horse won't trust you completely if you cause pain. If you force or cause pain, then that we describe that as violent. Mm-hmm. And I would say the same thing for your kids, and some people would even say the same thing about husbands to their wives. There is no question in my mind what force and violence is, and a lot of people kind of try to ride a line to keep some of those traditional methods because they don't have another way to do it, and that's what we're hoping to teach. Our mission statement is to let people know that there are, if you clear your mind of violence and say, it's not possible, I'm not going to allow myself to use any pain or force, then your brain will search for the way that your horse will trust you and then therefore become a willing partner and understand what you're trying to train with them to do. And that's assuming you're training for something that is violent-free. There's still some kind of crazy disciplines out there. But for the most part, the nice thing about the horse industry is it's really gone to a more, I don't want to say backyard, but it's gone to a more trail riding and just it's a pastime now more than it used to be. Of course, 100 years ago, they were our tractors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then 50 years ago or so, a lot of people were still using horse, maybe a little bit longer than now, but still using horses for means of support, cattle ranching and all kinds of things like that. But pretty much now there are exercise and there are entertainment, there are escape and there are outdoor escape. So if people look at horses that way these days, then there's really no reason for this extreme anything in training. It should be more about the relationship, if not for moral reasons, but for fun reasons. The relationship with the horse is a lot of fun.
And my belief from what all the reading I've done, and as I said, learning about these new methods, is the thing that convinces everybody is how quickly that horses will accept
yes.
the saddle or the rider,
yes.
and horses that usually may be showing some behavior problems or are very violent or scared themselves,
yes.
how quickly they can transform using these methods. And
absolutely.
Wouldn't you say, Debbie, that is the thing that should really make us open our eyes and encourage this paradigm shift?
It should. Every listener, if they are wild about pets, and they do, and they enjoy animals of all kinds, especially horses in this segment, then yes, that should be the ultimate should be that that's what we want to achieve. Now, that might threaten some trainers who, mm-hmm. Say, well, it's going to take me a month to get that little kink out. And, I'm not picking on trainers here, but I still hear it where there's this built-in need, and they don't want any obsolescence in that, But I think that they're coming around. What I've loved watching over the last 15 years or so is I think owners are more empowered to say something about that these days. They really were intimidated by their
mm-hmm.
trainers
mm-hmm.
15 years ago, and now they feel like, no, I know that, there's books written now, and I know there's other ways we can figure this out without forcing the horse to do it or going to the whip. And they're standing up for their horses. They're even moving barns sometimes when you when you hear of a trainer. We had somebody just in this last year who said, their trainer said to them, don't go take that course, Riding with Respect. We have a Riding with Respect course at the farm that I love.
Oh, I want to talk about with you a little bit later on too.
Yeah. Okay. And we just love sharing that because a lot of people are either afraid of the size and the speed of horses. You know, that's sort of a fear factor built into a lot of us. But when they see what the horse's nature is, they have a lot of fun. So that's why we started these courses. And one trainer said, you know, you're just wasting your time to go to those things. You know, I could show you how to, you know, be calm. Well, this trainer was not calm around the horses, and that's why the lady was going to take the courses. There's still this threat a little bit about being defensive about traditional methods. And I think that's starting to melt away, though, Susan, I'm really happy to say.
Oh, I am too. So the approach that was really meant to stop that cycle of violence, your father named Join Up. What is Join Up?
Oh, that's a great question. Join Up, we like to think of it as a way of life around your horse. It's the relationship with your horse, but that sounds a little broad, so I'll narrow it down real quickly. Join Up, we've come to say, is that moment where the horse has chosen to flee from you, because that's what they do. That's in their DNA, to be a flight animal when they don't know what's up next. And they've chosen to flee, and there's a flight pattern of about a quarter of a mile. And what we'll do is we'll let that horse make that choice to run their course to the flight mechanism, just like they do when they run away from, you know, in the steppes of Mongolia when they're chasing away from something. They go about a quarter of a mile and they turn around and they assess. And so that will happen for us in the round pen too. The horse will finally, he'll show some signs of renegotiating the deal. You know, there's ears locked on you, there's licking and chewing, there's head lowering, and then finally there's some smaller circles coming closer to you. They're reassessing whether you're a predator that's going to eat them, or maybe you're a predator that should maybe that become their own private predator, and it's a good thing to have on their side. And so that moment where you turn, you go passive, you relax, you soften your fingers, you give them a 45, you avert your eyes, and they come right to your shoulder. All right around the world, every horse we've ever encountered does the same and has the same language, and that's the moment of Join Up. We call it the moment where they choose to trust. Really interesting is that when Dad first went out on the road with this and started demonstrating it, as the Queen asked him to, you would every once in a while, about every, I don't know, five shows or so, somebody would faint. And it took us a while to figure it out. Why were they fainting? And typically they'd been abused, and typically they were not trusting of anybody. And what they'd do is they would watch that moment of Join Up, that demonstration I just described, and they would hold their breath. And when they just saw that horse making the choice to trust that predator and come into that predator and nuzzle that predator's neck, they just flopped right over. And so we thought, we can't have this. You know, this is going to be dangerous. This is not good for demonstrations, but once we do that, and there's things we can say about, you know, we tell people to breathe, and we tell them what they're going to see, and that prediction allows their brain to take it in more without worrying about it. Mm-hmm. But it is quite fabulous. It is quite fabulous to actually, and I think anybody who sees it live, forget about it. They're done with questioning anything. You know, you just can't question the honesty of a horse. There they are. They're fleeing. They're wild-eyed. They're scared, you know, like they always are when you take the halter off and turn them off in a field somewhere. They're just kind of like, wee. And they start that way in the round pen. And then when they come back to you wanting to partner up with you, wanting to check you out, wanting to know more and be trusting of you, it's just the most miraculous thing you'll ever watch, and that I hear it over and over and over again.
Now, Debbie, you're going to be in town in the Chicagoland area, so I'm telling anybody who could be in the Chicagoland area, coming up on November 19th and 20th, and I know you're doing a Monty Roberts Methods Clinic. Now, on Saturday, the November 19th from 9 to 5, I understand that is where people would not be bringing a horse, but on Sunday, people can bring their own horse. correct?
Well done. Yes, that's exactly right. We're doing kind of two different ways, a demonstration, and then the other one is we know there's always a percentage of people that want hands-on. They bring their own horse and say, I've got trouble loading, or I've got trouble biting, kicking, can't clip his ears, you know, all those problematics we just love dealing with, because that's where we get to show people you can do it without force.
Okay, now this is going to be held in Barrington, Illinois at the Walk On Farm, and I'll be referring people to how they can find that information. But the reason why I'm asking is, are people or are we going to see a join-up demonstration at these workshops?
You are. Yes, it's Walk On Farm is, let's see, I've got an address on Facebook. If people go to the events tab, it's 26665 West Cuba in Barrington, Illinois. If people want more information, they can go on there. But yes, Denise Sandman, we're fortunate to have her. She's one of the, there's about 45 certified instructors in the world. And one of them is close enough there that she's going to drive over to Barrington, Illinois, and show us personally what she's been taught to do join up, to do all these remedial issues on Sunday. So she'd be there both Saturday and Sunday. And I get to go along for the ride and get to watch her. She's wonderful, wonderful to watch. She's done amazing things with horses, even in driving, you know, in the carriages and everything. She teaches everything without force and fear, and her skills in loading trailers and ground manners for horses, all that is just, you know, it's just something you have to see. And we haven't been in that area, the Chicago, that whole Midwest, in a long time. So I hope people can go the extra effort. I know there's another equine trade show going on, too, but that means people will be in the area. So I'm hoping that they'll find time to come on over and help us out with a little bit of the spreading the word.
Sure, we'll be doing that today. Now, we're going to take a break in a moment, but when we come back, we will find out who could benefit from join up. You know, is it only certain kind of people who jump or leisure horses? Who can really benefit from these training methods? Stay with us. We'll be right back.